Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Hump Day edition of the Yard. They kind of got away from me today. It happens sometimes. You wake up with the best of intentions, and then you got to return calls and emails. The next thing you know, you're chasing this for somebody else, and you look up and you got a lot of small things done, but not a lot of big things done. But I try to live a life of purpose, and the show must go on, so here we are. Hope that you guys are well wherever you are today. I'd like to take this time, too, to thank our men and women serving in our armed forces around the world. We don't do that enough. It's a job that I didn't want to do. I'm very grateful for those that do, that put themselves in harm's way so we can have an opportunity to live life as we choose. We're very fortunate in that respect. I am a big proponent of America's servicemen and women. And I've had many friends, obviously, that have served, and very grateful for them. And now is a time that I think that's as important as ever, right? There's a lot of people out there that have some very negative sentiment about the United States military. I think that's wrong. You may have your opinions about our decision makers, and you're certainly within your rights to air those grievances or support, no matter which side of the fence you're on. But our service people are following orders, and they spend a lot of time away from the people they love so we can be with the people we love. That's important to understand. I've got a lot of friends and family that have loved ones in the military, and I get messages regularly from some of our bulldogs that are in a foreign land that say, "Hey, Steve, I love listening to your show and Brian and Robbie's show because it gives me a little taste of home." And I think that's an important aspect of this too. Some days when I think about, well, maybe I don't feel like recording today, I think about the fact that there's so many of you that, number one, want to hear about Mississippi State, but there are some other people, some other Bulldog fans, that this is all they get, right? You know, they get a chance to listen to all of us. They get a chance to read some of our content when they can. But it's nice to be able to give them a little piece of home and kind of remind them what they're fighting for. And we at times are a very ungrateful population. And so I wanted to take a few moments today, kind of in light of what's going on in the world, to say that we have the greatest military presence in the world. We have the most well-equipped, most well-trained military operation the world has ever seen, that is made up of our neighbors and the sons and daughters of people that we know and love. And it's easy sometimes to take all that for granted, and I don't think we should. You know, we have Memorial Day, Veterans Day, and all that stuff that happens, but for some people it's just kind of a chance to go have a barbecue. And you know what? I suspect that our men and women around the world that are protecting our freedom want you to have that barbecue. But it's also kind of important to understand that there is a sacrifice being made that perhaps you and I are not always aware of. So thank you. While we're handing out flowers, let me also thank the American farmer. And for those of you that have never listened to the Paul Harvey American farmer thing, I encourage you to do so. Paul Harvey was a legend in this country. Used to love hearing Paul Harvey and his delivery. In many respects, Jack Crystal kind of reminded me of that very deliberate, well-articulated delivery of news. But we have so many people that do so many great things for us. And my dad grew up on a dairy farm off Augusta Road in Jones County, Mississippi, just outside of Aliceville. And I can tell you, there's a lot of people that do a lot for us that we never will meet. And I think that the two groups that probably deserve the most praise from us are our military and our farm families. And I get messages from some of you guys too. They'll say, "Hey, Steve, I listen to the Boneyard when I'm out on the tractor. Appreciate the show." Well, I appreciate all of you. Be no point in me doing this if you weren't listening. So I wanted to open up today with those two things because it weighs heavy on my heart at times. It truly does. And the older I get, the more I appreciate those two groups of people. And there's a lot of other groups too, don't get me wrong. We just don't have all day to talk about them. But we don't say it enough. Thank you on behalf of a very ungrateful American public at times for the things you do for us. I could talk all day long about what the farming community meant to my father, because he was a farmer growing up. And then went to work for the United States Department of Agriculture, Farmers Home, worked 33 years trying to better the life of Mississippi farmers. And so it means a lot to our family. And again, it's often a job that other people don't want to do. And so we kind of take it for granted. We just kind of assume that our fresh vegetables, you know, our ground beef, all that stuff just kind of shows up at the store. There's a lot of work, a lot of knowledge and expertise that goes in to get the food from the fields to our dinner table. No matter what you choose to eat, there's a farmer somewhere that's responsible for it. And so I encourage you, maybe when you go to bed tonight and you offer up your prayers of Thanksgiving, let's include the American military family, the American farming family. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. We love Bulldog Burger Company. I got a call from Gene Swindoll earlier. He and Mary Ann were on their way to eat at Bulldog Burger Company. He was excited to go. I said, hey, is Ian working tonight? We're going to ask for him if he's working. And I appreciate so many of you that have done the same. I raised some good kids, man. I did. And he loves working at Bulldog Burger Company. He loves it. I mean, that's where his friends are. He loves it. Made a lot of good friends. Got some really good working experience there. He's always been a real, you know, soft-hearted kid, but he's a guy that kind of understands how to take care of people. I think he fits the value system and vice versa of the Eat With Us group very well. We're so fortunate to have them. I mean, it's the place where we have, you know, we've gone out on dates. When you want to take a girl on a nice date and you're a Mississippi State student, where do you go? Well, you go to Harvey's, or you go to Bulldog, or you go to The Grill, or you go to Sweet Pepper's Deli, right? There's so many of those great restaurants that have been here to serve us through our moments of celebration. So whether it's a first date, whether it's a lunch date with colleagues or a night out with family, Bulldog Burger Company is the place to go. I would encourage you too, as we prepare for the fall semester, many of you are aunts and uncles and grandparents of Mississippi State students, and I'm thinking along the lines of that first date, why not get a gift card? What a great gift, right? They can have a night out, a nice meal, to kind of take a break from it all. I think it's a great idea. You can go to eatwithus.com and you can order gift cards specifically for Bulldog or the entire family of restaurants. Matter of fact, I think it's a great idea. I think you should do that today. Go to the eatwithusgroup.com. Buy some gift cards for the Mississippi State students in your life. What a great gift. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Rich and Flowood area. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet, M-E-A-T. Okay, I have had some conversations off air with some people that kind of see Mississippi State sports in two different ways. And you know what? I respect both, because I know all of it, with rare exception, comes from a very good place. We want to see Mississippi State win. Now, there are a few people out there that just want to be right. You know what I mean? It's like there are a few people, there's a small percentage of fans in every fan base, that no matter what we do, how we do it, we're going to find fault in it. And I'm going to encourage you not to listen to those people. Don't respond to them on social media, message boards, whatever. Just to completely ignore it. There's nothing to be gained from that. There are some people who have made a decision they're going to be miserable about life and about Mississippi State sports, and there's no changing their minds. It's just, it is an exercise in futility to try to plead the Bulldog case And listen, I got some people in my family over the years, and I used to kind of tease my dad about this sometimes too. I said, you know, you kind of love to hate the Bulldogs. And he would kind of snicker at that. You know, he wasn't a big Jackie Sherrill guy. I will tell you that. He wasn't a big Jackie Sherrill guy. But he loved Mississippi State, and he wanted to see the Bulldogs win. And when we won under Jackie, he had to kind of admit that maybe he was wrong, right? And so, love that aspect of it. But I want to go over a few things that have happened in the last few months that you're aware of. But I want to kind of put some context around it. Now, one of the things that we have talked about for years is the need for a football IPF. Well, you know, Mike Leach didn't really want it, just so you guys know. And he goes, I won't ever use it. I don't use the one we have now very often. Mike Leach was a guy that felt like we should practice in the elements. And if we never had lightning strikes, we'd have just practiced out in the rain. Now, that's a guy, obviously, that is coached in the heat of the West Texas sun out in Lubbock. And then, of course, the rainy Pacific Northwest there in Washington State. And so he's like, hey, we're going to have to play in the elements. We've got to learn to practice in the elements. And so it kind of felt like a situation where we didn't want to spend the money just to spend the money. Zach Selman gets here and says, you know what? Coaches kind of come and go. We need this. We need to have a sign that we are growing as a football program. And the news, incredibly well received. And you guys have seen the renderings. You know about, you know, the Howard family being involved in all this. And I'm so incredibly grateful for them. Again, you know, some folks that have brought industry, innovation, and employment, you know, to Jones County and South Mississippi and really just kind of around the state. There's a lot of people employed by Howard Industries, and they have been so incredibly prolific in their financial support of Mississippi State. When they told me that we were naming the IPF, the Howard IPF, it made perfect sense to me. It absolutely did. But there have been a lot of things, and listen, me and some people in the media have been in some meetings at times with Zach Selman, and he's kind of explained some of the more difficult things we're having to navigate to get some of these projects done. Now, I don't know if everybody else will admit that to you, but there's a handful of people you know, and I'm not going to identify them here, that, you know, we have periodically kind of had some sit-downs off the record to kind of talk about some of these things. And I can tell you, in one of those meetings, I could kind of see, kind of in Zach Selman's face, the concern about some of this is like we're walking, but we really want to be jogging and eventually sprinting towards the completion of some of these projects. And so the IPF was something that many of you have kind of clamored for too, even though you'll never use it, right? You just want Mississippi State to be able to do well on the recruiting side of things. And we're going to talk about some recruiting stuff too, but it's like, hey, this is one last thing that can be used against us. And I have traveled all across this conference, and I have been in over half of the IPFs within this conference. And after going to Auburn last year and having an opportunity to tour that new facility, it was kind of like, are you kidding me? How are we going to compete with this? Everybody has the new buzzers and whistles. And, you know, and let's be honest about this, too. For those of you that don't know, the IPF at Alabama is nothing special. It is basically Palmero, basically, except it doesn't have the adjoining weight room. It's just basically a barn, right? And so it's just more functional than it is luxurious. And so I share that with you because, you know, there was a time in the arms race that everybody wanted to have the new, nicer IPF. But the reality of it is, and this is where I side with the proponents of the IPF and really always have. I understand the financial aspect of this, but we have to upgrade our facilities, and we have to do it kind of when nobody else is. So that requires some creative fundraising and financing because we're all dealing with the fallout of this house settlement. We're all dealing with rev share. We're all dealing with this, you know, $20.5 million deal. That money's got to come from somewhere, and it's real money. And so how do you orchestrate all of the things that need to happen to construct the IPF. And yes, there's some milestones we're going to have to hit fundraising-wise between now and then to ensure this thing is completed on time. But I think it's important to commend Zach Selman for finding a way to make it happen. You know, I get the sense in the time, and I've met with Zach Selman countless times, and sometimes in his office, sometimes just, you know, kind of walking around Duty Noble Field or something, you know, we'll have an opportunity to kind of, you know, talk and catch up and get an update on some things. But I can tell you that this was something from the beginning that was in the forefront of his mind. Now, he spent kind of the first year doing what a lot of good leaders do. You don't come in and change everything the first year. There's an observation period. You got to find out how things work. You got to get your people in place. You got to figure out what the priorities are. Who can you trust? Which direction do you go when you need a check written? That sort of stuff. And so you don't come in like a bull in a china shop and just kind of run things maybe the way you did at your previous location. Now, there's some things we had to do. There were some difficult decisions that had to be made, and they weren't always incredibly well received by the fan base. And as I've said on this show many times before, if we're going to just conduct the fan poll, then there's no need to have an athletic director. You know, we can just go ahead and, you know, fire up a Twitter poll and call it done, right? There's a little more nuance to it than that. And so Selman had to go out here and secure some funding to make this IPF thing a reality. And so I want our players, our student athletes in every sport, to have the best they possibly can here. It wasn't too long ago we didn't even have a clubhouse for softball. It wasn't too long ago that we didn't have a nice, you know, state-of-the-art clubhouse for soccer. There were some things we had to do on the women's sports side. It wasn't too many years ago that we didn't have a really nice volleyball facility. So we've done those things, right? And so it's time for us in many respects to kind of commit to, you know, the high revenue producing sports. And if we're going to be paying all this money out to players, we need to make sure that we're doing the things to entice players to come here when there's a tiebreaker, right? When you've got two players that are both kind of similarly situated, both of them perhaps in a position to receive about the same revenue sharing type enticement between two schools, you know, how do we break that tie? Well, we break that tie by having the newer, nicer facility. And I think this is one of those things that shows the trajectory of our athletics department and our football program that was, hey, we're committed to football. And I read some stuff on social media sometimes. And listen, I get it. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to anybody. I'm not talking down to anybody. But I read some this the other day. Somebody said, well, you know, we're not committed to football anymore. And that's just not true. We're making the greatest contribution we've ever made. I don't know that Jeff Lebby ever gets told no. When Jeff's like, hey, we need this, we find a way to go make it happen. That hadn't always been the case. The next thing I want to bring up are these LED lights. And again, there's a self-loathing segment of our fan base, right? There were some people that were against the LED lights for some reason or another. I don't understand. Why would we not want to have the best game day experience we could possibly have? And we have been woefully lagging in that. Now, granted, winning is what matters most. But when you think about recruits, we talk about a great atmosphere. That, you know, there's some things that we can do to create that atmosphere, right? You know, number one, being present, being enthusiastic about the game, bringing the cowbells, you know, creating a great home field advantage. But there are some things administratively we can do, and this is one of them. And we weren't sure we were going to be able to get it done this year. But Zach Selman went out and found a way. And we talked about this recently. Went out and secured some funds to ensure that we could make this happen. And there's a lot of, you know, donors that give money that their names never appear on buildings or on lighting standards or anything of that. They just love Mississippi State. And so, like, hey, you know, what do you need? Okay, let's take care of it. You know, so give Zach Selman a lot of credit for that. And then there's the Brian O'Connor situation. And as I shared then, and I have verified by multiple sources since then, the last week of that coaching search was very much up and down. You know, we felt very confident. Brian O'Connor felt very confident. But there are some people that did their best to make it a difficult decision. Of course, Virginia comes back and says, hey, we'll pretty much give you what you want. Of course, we found out later that they're only going to fund 25 scholarships. And as Brian O'Connor and I discussed last Friday night, he was just ready for a new challenge. And then Texas A&M comes in after we've survived this, you know, kind of the last gasp of the Virginia's attempts to keep him. And Texas A&M comes in and is like, hey, you know, remember last year we were really close to having a deal, and Brian O'Connor picked us. And that's one of the conversations that I've had about that. You know, Brian O'Connor and Zach Selman have some friends in common and some industry partners in common. And one of the things that I was told, one of the questions that Brian O'Connor had when speaking to these third parties is, can I trust Zach Selman? And he was given a resounding yes. Yeah, you can trust Zach Selman. O'Connor told a mutual friend, as this thing got a little bit arduous, you know, with A&M of Virginia coming in, trying to muddy the water a little bit. And he told this party, he said, you know what, I'm going to go to Mississippi State. He goes, what is it about State? He goes, I believe that they will do what they say they will do. And what a great legacy and reputation to have as an athletic department, a university, and an athletic director. And there were a lot of people in the beginning of this process. Some of the
finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
So-called walk-on experts, right? And I'm not indicting anybody in our fan base, okay? I'm talking about some people in the Southeastern Conference media. Not our fans. So don't get it twisted. Even though some of our fans kind of share the sentiment, because I think in many respects our fans have been beaten down so much in the last year. So much has happened, and we haven't had as much to celebrate. And so it's easy to start thinking, well, we're going to screw this up. I don't like it, right? When that kind of bubbles up a little bit, people will think, you know, we're going to... I remember reading on message board, on mine, and on social media, somebody said, we're going to Mississippi State this thing. I know what you meant, but I don't like the phrasing. And I get it. You know, we hadn't always had great stewards of our money over the years. And there are times, you know, we used to have to sell home games in football just to keep the athletic department afloat. You know, that was still happening in my lifetime. And again, there are some people in the SEC media said State doesn't have any money. State's going to have to go cheap here. You know, I even had somebody send me a message, and I'm not going to name the coach, but I had somebody send me a message. So somebody else in the SEC media told them that he had heard that we were going to go and pursue a junior college coach. And I don't know what we've ever done to develop such a relationship with some people. You know, they have this poor opinion of us. But that sentiment is out there. And people kept saying, State's going to go cheap on this hire. And from the very beginning, the first what we're hearing that I posted, and I reiterated a couple times, we're not going to go cheap on the hire. I had heard that from people in the Bryan building. I'd heard that from people in Lee Hall, that we are going to do what we need to do to get baseball where we think it should be. Now, we certainly could have gone out there and hired somebody else that would have us in regionals every year or something similar to that, maybe 3 out of 4 years. That would have been an easy hire to make. There's a lot of coaches that can do that, especially with the benefit of our facilities, our recruiting footprint, and our tradition. But we didn't want the status quo. We wanted another national championship or 10. You know, I see LSU winning another one. They have 8. I have a lot of respect for LSU, but I'm also very envious of LSU because that should be us. And I think we have taken some steps to correct that. And so when you go back and you think about all of these things, we get so caught up in the minutiae. Right, there's so many little things, you know, why are we a Coke university? We should be Pepsi. You know, those kinds of things. It's really silly. It is. And everybody's got their own opinion. But what I am impressed with Zach Selman, especially in the last 6 months, is focusing on what matters most. Doing things that maybe aren't typical of our institution. I think that's an important aspect of this. That goes back to that whole, we're going to Mississippi State this thing. I think times are changing. You know, and I go back and I tell you, the guy that I would give, and this is not a criticism of anybody else, but I think one of the person that I think put the first wheel on that wagon to change the narrative was Greg Byrne. You know, Greg goes out and goes and gets Dan Mullen. Now, it's not atypical for us in our history to go out and get a rising assistant coach. Well, then the SEC. I mean, that goes back decades. And we've done that many times in our history. You know, we didn't do it with Emory. We didn't do it with Jackie. And both of those guys were actually out of coaching at the time. But my point being is that I think Greg Byrne went through a quality search and said, you know what, this guy fits us. He went out and hired John Cohen away from Kentucky after Kentucky had won the SEC championship. And, you know, Mitch Barnhart didn't want to lose John Cohen. And there were many of you then, and I won't mention some names, but a lot of people thought we would just go hire another guy, right? That's what we thought. You know, and the thing that I think Greg Byrne did, and I give him a lot of credit for this, and I consider Greg a friend, and when I see him at Mississippi State, Alabama sporting events, he always comes up and says hello. It's not me tracking him down. It's just kind of who he is. We'll pass each other. He wants to visit a little bit. Hey, I read your book. Well, thanks, Greg. You know, those things matter. But I think Greg began to make us dream a little bit bigger. I think Scott Strickland came aboard after Greg left. You know, Scott was promoted. And, you know, Scott did some incredible things on the marketing side. And I think that's probably the thing that when I think about Scott Strickland, like what was his greatest contributions? I think that was a lot of it. It was marketing, getting our message out there. And Scott was also very detail-oriented. And then, of course, he goes and hires, you know, Vic Schaefer, who ushered in, you know, the greatest era in Mississippi State women's basketball. And then John Cohen comes, and we build a stadium. We hired the only coach that's won a national championship. We went out and hired Mike Leach. And so there's no way that I thought Zach Selman would just go back to doing what we used to do. Well, we'll go get the up-and-coming baseball coach. Well, we'll go hire, you know, somebody's hitting coach. You know, guys, this is a machine. And Chris Simonis and I have talked about this many times, even in the weeks since he was terminated, you know, is that this is a different job. This isn't one of those jobs where you just kind of show up and learn as you go because of the fact that the demands of this fan base and of this tradition are difficult for other people to accept. And there are a lot of people that would love to try this job on for size, but we can't afford to just kind of let them figure it out as they go. We needed to bring in somebody that already knew what they were doing, had already done it at the highest level. And I think it's easy to say that Mississippi State, the greatest hire of this hiring season. And we've talked specifically in years past about having generational type coaches. And it's interesting. You know, people go, well, how much fire does O'Connor still have in the tank? I think now that you've heard him speak a few times, you would agree with me there's plenty left. Brian O'Connor's a guy, too, that he wants to win national championships. And while he didn't say this, I can kind of infer this based on some things he said and some things that we've learned about the situation at Virginia. I think it's pretty safe to say the path to Omaha from Charlottesville, Virginia, is a little more difficult now than it was before. And the reason that I say that is because so many people within their conference are going to fund more scholarships. And listen, Virginia's got to do what they think is best for their athletic department. And if that means allocating more scholarships to swimming and diving, a sport that they have Olympic caliber type success, that's what they got to do. And nobody should begrudge them that. You know, I've seen some of this crazy stuff, some of this Virginia commentary. Somebody shared a TikTok with me the other day, and I rarely get on there. I just kind of see it when you guys share it on Twitter. But there was some guy over there talking about how Mississippi State was like in the bottom half of the league in baseball in the SEC. Are you kidding me? Well, I could understand if he'd take LSU and Arkansas because they're getting like $10,000 a night. I mean, tell me you don't know college baseball without actually telling me you don't know college baseball. You know, and to be honest with you, I find that level of ignorance offensive. I do. And maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I shouldn't care what they think or say. But when you look at the fact, and again, some people find this offensive, and let me look around and see if I can't find some sympathy for you. No, no luck again this week. We're a baseball school. Now, we love everything else. You know, we're a baseball school that loves football. We're kind of fair-weathered about basketball. And you know that's the truth, even if you don't want to admit it. By your own admission, even we have some big games in men's basketball, we've got a half-filled arena, and that's got to change. You know, I'm a big proponent as if you can't make it, let's get those seats in the hands of some other Bulldogs that can. I can promise you there's tons of people in the greater Starkville area that, you know, that would love to have those tickets and go sit in your place. If you can't make that drive up from the coast or from Birmingham for a Tuesday night SEC game, you can't be there. I can promise you there are plenty of people in the Mississippi State community that would love to have those tickets. That understood. We are a baseball school. And we have shown in recent weeks our commitment to ensure that our baseball program returns to a national championship contending level. I don't know how many years I got left, but I hope I see multiple national championships before I go. I know you guys feel the same way. And I can tell you, sitting with Brian O'Connor last Friday night, just me and him, I can tell you that there is a magnetism with him in the way that he speaks and communicates and the way that he makes you feel. And you can see why he is such a great recruiter. You can see why his entire staff came with him to Starkville with one exception, and that's a guy they didn't want to bring. You can see why many of these high school recruits that get drafted went to Virginia. Brian O'Connor is a guy that makes a lot of sense. And I can see why the people at Virginia wanted to keep him, not just the on-the-field success. You know, 7 trips to Omaha in 22 seasons, played for an NAFL championship twice, won it once. Yeah, that in and of itself is probably enough. But when you think about what Brian O'Connor will mean to our community and what he meant to the community in Charlottesville, it makes a lot of sense. You know, as Zach Selman told me when I called to congratulate him on the hire, he goes, Steve, we just uprooted the oak tree and moved it to Starkville, Mississippi. And when you guys have the opportunity to interact with Coach O'Connor, I suspect you're going to feel the same way I do. and the way that so many other people do. He is a guy that it is extremely easy to have faith in. I mean, you don't think, I mean, think about this for a second. You know, Coach Mack, the hitting coach, don't you think if he had decided that, hey, I want to stay in Charlottesville, that he'd have been in contention to be the head coach there? There was some rumors about that in the beginning when O'Connor first emerged as a candidate. Then we found out, no, if he gets a job here at Mississippi State, he's bringing the whole staff with one exception. But don't you think McMullen, if he said, you know what, hey, I really want this job, I'll stay, we'll do what we want to do, we'll do it the way you guys want it done, he would have had the job. I don't have any question about that. Now, they end up getting, you know, Chris Pollard from Duke, which I think is a good hire. They're putting together a great portal class, too. Curious to see what Duke's going to look like when it's all said and done. But my point being is that it wasn't just Brian O'Connor that uprooted his family and moved to Starkville. It was several other individuals that have such a belief in Brian O'Connor that they're like, you know what? He's going to win, and he's going to win big, and I want to be a part of that. So, yeah, we'll take the job. You know, as we were wrapping up our coverage in Tallahassee, Florida, that group was already kind of assembling to make their move to Starkville because the portal opened Monday morning. They wanted to have boots on the ground in Starkville, Mississippi. That wasn't a Zach Selman directive. That was a Brian O'Connor directive. And in those days leading up to the hire, which it was pretty much everybody knew at that point, I think by Thursday this thing is close to being done. It was officially done on Saturday. And then that's all the language stuff worked out, right? But Brian O'Connor wanted to be here. He wanted to already come in and have it announced. And, you know, that was one of the reasons it was so important for us to get it out there on Sunday. And I think that's an important aspect of this because Brian O'Connor was ready to get to work about Bulldog business. And so when I, again, look back now at where we've come from really since Christmas as an athletic department and the vision that has kind of been laid out in front of us, we're going to have our IPF. We're going to have our LED lights. We're going to have a championship-level coach that can consistently get us into Omaha. We believe. You know, we had an AFL championship coach for Chris Simonis, but as you guys know, things have kind of come unraveled since then. And you look at the level of consistency that Brian O'Connor has, you know, to be able to manage to get to the regionals just about every year. He was a head coach. Took that job as a 32-year-old. Kept until he was 54. He was the Ron Polk of Virginia baseball. And now he's a Brian O'Connor of Mississippi State baseball. I think that's an important distinction to kind of make there. You know, it's just kind of like when Ron Polk retired and then he popped back up at Georgia and we felt like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. Well, we brought him home. Virginia people, I'm sure, feel the same way. And eventually they'll reach a point where they're, you know, there's a level of acceptance and appreciation of the time they spent together. But at the end of all of this, Zach Selman, backed by Dr. Mark Keenum and the full weight of Lee Hall, went and made these things happen. And this is what you hired Zach Selman to do, to go out there and raise the funds, make the hires, build the facilities that advance the trajectory of this athletic program. And that's what's happening. So with that in mind, we're going to have Zach Selman as our close with Blair, Player of the Day. Appreciate Zach's contributions to Mississippi State, as you guys are well aware. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. 24 years of experience. Get his expertise and know-how working for you and make the dream of home ownership come true. Give him a call or text today directly at 601-500-2344. Again, that's 601-500-2344. Blair knows how to get things done. One of the life hacks that people don't tell you about, get that pre-qualification letter for your mortgage. Get all your ducks in a row so when you go out shopping, you know exactly what you're looking for, and you're like, hey, this is the house, let's go close, let's move in, let's move on with life, rather than shopping above your means, wasting your time, your real estate agent's time, I can tell you, life's a lot easier when you get that pre-qualification letter. So whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, depend on Close with Blair and Blair Chandler. All right, time for today's top 10 list, brought to you by Calido Guitars. That's C-A-L-I-D-O guitars.com. It's a Mississippi State owned and operated company based out of Lake Jackson, Texas, but they have ties here to Starkville. Still got family here. Yeah, it's true. I like to keep business in the family whenever we can. So if you're a player or you have a player in your life, let me encourage you to give Calido Guitars the opportunity to serve you. They're going to give you some incentive to do so too. Whether you stop by the showroom in Lake Jackson, Texas, where the grandsons work, again, I told you it's a family-owned business, or you call in, or you shop online, use promo code BSR. You know what that stands for. And what that does, it keys some savings for you. It gets you 10% off your purchase. It gets you free shipping. It gets you no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. And a 5% donation of your purchase price given to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. It's a win-win-win. Whether you're looking for an acoustic guitar, an electric guitar, perhaps a classical guitar, maybe it's a beginner guitar, a professional-grade guitar, maybe you need to upgrade. They can help you with that. Name brand instruments at a discounted price just by listening to the show. So whether you need a guitar case, a gig bag, any accessories, or a new axe, depend on Calido Guitars. Visit them today at calidoguitars.com. Okay, we've had another death in the classic rock community. Mick Ralphs, it's probably a name you don't know, but you know his music well. Dozens of albums. Got his start with the band that eventually changed their name to Mott the Hoople. If you don't know Mott the Hoople, I wish they would, honest to goodness, I wish they would remaster some of that Mott the Hoople stuff. Like, especially the album All the Young Dudes. It was produced by David Bowie. It was really kind of a renaissance and a resurgence in the band's history, that album. It's a big part of things. And they owe David Bowie a lot in that respect. But after Mick left Mott the Hoople, he joined up with Paul Rodgers from Free and formed Bad Company. And so many of the great Bad Company songs that you know were written and certainly recorded with Mick Ralphs on guitar. Some of the most recognizable riffs of all time came from his guitar playing. And so we're going to pay tribute to him today. And it's interesting, too, the Mott the Hoople thing. The singer of Mott the Hoople was Ian Hunter. Had his classic curly hair and always wore his sunglasses. Still made some music just last year. A lot of producing these days. But he had a very, very intriguing voice, I guess you could say. Very British in some respects. But he wrote a couple of songs that maybe you don't know that he wrote. The first one, the song that so many people became their gateway song to the great American rock band Great White, was Once Bitten, Twice Shy. And of course, you know, Rock Me and Save All Your Love came on the Once Bitten album. It was already predetermined that the next album was going to be Twice Shy. Yeah, because they loved the Mick Ronson and Ian Hunter classic, Once Bitten, Twice Shy. Now, what's interesting, too, there was a lyrical change in the cover. And, of course, the cover of Great White during the MTV era was much more successful than the original. But you know it as My, 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 Once Bitten, Twice Shy. Well, when Ian recorded it, it was I am Once Bitten, Twice Shy. That's what that's about. And also, they had a big hit, Mick and Ian did, with a song called England Rocks. You see, but Steve, I don't know where that came from. Well, remember the Drew Carey show and they did Cleveland Rocks? It was basically a cover and they just kind of changed it from England Rocks to Cleveland Rocks. How about that? you learn a little something today. But number 10, I'm going to start with this one, even though it is one of my favorite Mott the Hoople songs, because there's a little story with it too, and it is the title track from the album All the Young Dudes. When David Bowie sat down to produce this album, because he was a big fan of the band and wanted them to kind of have a bigger audience, he offered them Suffragette City. And Ian didn't like the song. And so then he sits down and plays out All the Young Dudes. And it was a David Bowie written song and became a hit for Mott the Hoople. And it's one of those songs, too. It's really written from the heart. And England was going through some things back then, too. But it was just kind of like, you know, to all the young dudes. Like, I wish I could, you know, encourage you. And I offer that encouragement today, you know, to all the young dudes out there. Let me just tell you this. And so many of the people won't tell you this. Sometimes life sucks and you got to put on a helmet. You know, there's a lot of things in the daddy job description they don't tell you about. You know, dogs don't live long enough and you're the one that's got to bury dogs and things of that nature. And there are going to be so many times that you have to put everybody else in front of you. And I think that's the heart of parenthood on both sides, right? I can't count how many times my dad would go without to ensure that we had. Now, we weren't broke by any means. You know, when my parents got divorced, you know, it was kind of a tough gig. But, you know, I remember times when, you know, my dad made it look all easy. He really did. And then as I became an adult with a wife and children of my own, I would go to him and I would say, I don't understand. He goes, you know, we went through those things too. And it was so eye-opening for me. And I began to see my dad as a person and not necessarily as a superhero, which he was. But I was like, you made all this stuff look so easy. And he goes, that's the part of being a parent, is you want to shield your children, you know, from any ups and downs that you may have financially or relationship-wise. You just don't let adult issues rest on the minds and shoulders of children. It's probably the greatest advice that I could ever give to anybody when it comes to being a parent, is don't involve children in adult issues. And listen, there are people out there, of course, and they involve the kid. When mom and dad has an argument, I don't argue in front of my children even to this day. There are times my wife has wanted to argue with me, but there are some people out there that want to get, hey, well, ask the kids, wasn't dad being unreasonable? That's so foul. You know, you should always treat each other with respect in front of the kids. That's just my opinion. And I'm not saying you got to stay together because of the kids, because there's no shame in being, there's more shame in living in a broken home than being from a broken home. Truth there. You change your kids as people when they see their parents get out of character. So to all the young dudes, I'm going to tell you, life's not always going to be what they tell you it's going to be. It's going to be a lot more difficult than you think. And you're going to find out in time that, you know, your dads and your uncles are really going to become some of your best friends as you kind of transition into manhood. Yeah, I'm sure it's the same thing on the female side. I'm not leaving anybody out. But I can tell you there are some things on our side of the fence that are difficult to deal with. And you'll make it. And the mistakes you make in your 20s, you won't make in your 30s and 40s and 50s. At least I hope not. You learn from each mistake and you get better as a person. You get better as a parent. You get better as a spouse. But I can promise you, it's not going to be nearly as easy. And it always takes longer than we want it to. It does. But you need to be prepared for that and understand that all of the dads and all the husbands that have come before you have encountered something different. And in temptation today is probably greater than it's ever been, but so is surveillance, right? So understand how life works. And if you put one foot in front of the other and suit up and do the next right thing, things will be okay. All right, number 9. It's a Bad Company track. It's Good Lovin' Gone Bad. It was written by Mick. Maybe a little bit of a deeper cut. It did have some traction on the charts, but not as well known as some other ones. I think you'll dig that one. Number 8. A song that I think you'll love, even you don't know it really well. It was a hit in the 70s, but it's Mott the Hoople's Roll Away the Stone. Great song. And again, I wish they would remaster that. Number 7, an absolutely incredible guitar tone on this one. This is the Mick Ralphs track for me in many respects. From Mott the Hoople. There's one more that I like a lot that we'll get to that I think really kind of summarizes who Mick was as a guitar player. But it's Rock and Roll Queen. I think you'll dig that one. Number six, a song that was actually written for Mott the Hoople, and then Mick kind of did it as a solo thing and then retooled the arrangement for Bad Company and had a hit with it. It's Ready for Love. Number six on your list today. Number five, an underappreciated Bad Company classic. It's Moving On. Man, absolutely love this one. This is one of those just great song. Paul Rogers, great vocal on this one. Number four, a song that Contraband, which is another supergroup, covered. And it's a track written about basically a stolen guitar. And it's All the Way from Memphis. You know it, you just didn't know who sang it. It's Mott the Hoople. Number three, we've all felt this way. We may feel like it tonight. It's Bad Company's Feel Like Making Love. And you know the staccato on this thing. Everybody knows that guitar riff. It's just in the beginning, it's like you know exactly where we're about to go. And Paul Rogers, what a great vocal delivery. Number two, I put this one at number two because I think it's probably the best Mott the Hoople song you don't know. And it was actually written, Ian Hunter and Mick wrote this kind of collaboratively. It's called One of the Boys. I wish somebody would cover this. A lot of people have covered other Mott the Hoople songs, you know, All the Young Dudes. I think Bruce Dickinson covered that. Not the legendary Bruce Dickinson that you know, the one from Iron Maiden. And, of course, All the Way from Memphis has been covered. But One of the Boys is a great song. And it may be a song that you don't know well. And I think once you turn it on and you crank it up a little bit, I think you're going to be like, you know, where has this song been? I should have this on my playlist long ago. But number one, and you know it from that opening drum beat, right? It's just so great. It's so great. There are a lot of perfect songs, and this is one of them in my estimation. It's a perfect song. The intro, the guitar, the bass line is infectious. The vocal delivery is just incredible. And it's Can't Get Enough from Bad Company. I Can't Get Enough of Your Love. It is just one. It's a very happy song, right? And one of the things that we do when we listen to music is try to find something that kind of changes our mood a little bit. This is one of them. And sometimes it kind of reminds you. You know how it is, man. You get busy, you know, paying bills and raising kids, and sometimes you forget that you're in love with a person that's your partner in that endeavor. You got to go have date nights. You got to get together. You got to snuggle a little bit. Even if you don't make love, you got to get together and just kind of be close. There's an intimacy involved in all of that. You know, and that's an important aspect that I can tell you, you know, probably the happiest hours of my day are when my wife and I get together and have dinner and just go watch TV together. Yeah, I love doing all this stuff for you, but I'm a person too. You know, and sometimes I'm out here out in the sticks, it's just me and the dogs, man, about, you know, 22 hours a day it feels like sometimes. You know, she'll come home, we'll have dinner, we'll watch a little TV, we'll fall asleep watching Big Bang Theory reruns or whatever. But it's why I work. If I didn't enjoy doing this, if I didn't enjoy the people I was doing it for, I could do something else. Life is short, death is certain. I had somebody the other day called me and said, you say this all the time, Stephen, you're absolutely correct. I got that from my dad. I don't know where he got it from, but life is short and death is certain. And I'm not a person that's just going to wait around waiting to die. I'm going to try to find something to do. I got people right now all in my ears. When's the next book? What's the next book? What are we doing? What are we doing? When I'm ready, I'll let you know. I'm just not ready yet. And I've got people that are like, oh, we got to get this going. I'm just simply not ready yet. And, you know, I've gone through all of this with the coaching search and all the portal stuff and all that. My jeans page stuff has to come first. It has to. I own the business. I mean, I've got to get that stuff taken care of first. And so I'm not going to go write a book at the detriment of our website and the detriment of the show. The books are always going to come in addition to all of that work. That's very important to me. And, one of these days I'll sell the company. And I'll just, you know, write books in my retirement or whatever. You know, I'm sure Dana want me to come help her run the spa. But that's still several years away. But I'm always going to have a voice in all of this. And I appreciate you guys so much for taking the time to listen to my voice. But the thing that I would say is that if you're not living to live, you're dying in that respect. You're living to die. And that's one of the things that I think is very, very unfortunate. It is never too late to have dreams, to have aspirations of your very own, not just for all the people around you. When their dreams become your dreams, it's like all of a sudden you've kind of given up on yourself. And there needs to be something that is uniquely yours, no matter how old you are, whether it's woodworking or, you know, paper mache. I don't know what you do. You know, maybe you do baking for the church. You know, maybe you've got that great banana nut bread that everybody loves. But you need to have something of your very own that you take a lot of pride in. Very important. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart, and why? Because they have the things we covet, right? We do. We want more Mississippi State merch. Every Bulldog fan in your life, when you buy them a gift, whether it's birthday, anniversary, Christmas, Father's Day, Mother's Day, everybody's hoping for new Mississippi State merch. And even if they're not, you can't go wrong with new Mississippi State merch, because you may buy them something they're not expecting. You can find those items at Campus Bookmart. Next time you're in town, go by and see their smiling faces. You'll be glad you did. If you can't make it to town, or perhaps game day is not a good shopping day for you, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a Loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely and complete. Okay, working through our opponent previews, we're looking at Alcorn State today. And, we'll get to Northern Illinois on Friday. Week's getting away from us, man. So the Braves last year were picked to win the SWAC. They went 6-6, 5-3 in the conference. They opened up with a loss at UAB 41-3. They got shelled at Vandy 55-0. They play Edward Waters. And if you knew that there was an Edward Waters College out of Florida before today, I commend you, because I was today years old when I found that out. They win that game 38-7. They go on the road, McNeese State, get beat 42-14. Then they get into SWAC play. They blast Valley 42-21. They get Arkansas Pine Bluff 38-28. Big road win at Grambling. They win that game 17-15. So right out of the gate, you're 3-0. And again, people are projecting you to be in the conference tournament championship game, right? They lose at Southern 24-14. No real, shame there. Alabama State has been really good as of late. This is the Port City Classic. They head down to Mobile, play Alabama State. They lose that game 21-17. So even their losses in conference were very competitive. They get Texas Southern at home, get them 42-21. They get Prairie View A&M 26-13. They lose the Soul Bowl 48-10 to Jackson State. And then that's just kind of how it worked out for them, So interesting, right? What I always find interesting with our HBCUs in Mississippi is there ends up being some people that transfer there, or guys that we know, end up being on those rosters. And I submit to you that the high school player in Mississippi is as fortunate or more fortunate than most, because we have three Division I programs, this great junior college system. We've got some HBCUs that are largely competitive in multiple sports. Mid Valley is kind of the exception there. And then you've got other levels too. You got MC, there's just a lot out there. Markel McLaurin's the guy that we recruited. We didn't offer him. We didn't push. But he's from Collins, obviously connected to Mark McLaurin. Went to Southern Miss, Jones County. Ends up at Alcorn State. That's a name you know. Amarion Blakes. He was the guy that we offered and then didn't take here a couple years ago out of Shaw High School. I really liked his game. He came to camp and just didn't run as well, as we hoped. That's kind of part of the deal. Tight end Caleb Anderson, out of Brandon, Mississippi, went to Akron, transferred to Alcorn. You know, that's another guy that, you know, people in this neck of the woods know pretty well, you know. And it's kind of working through this thing. You know, just there's so many Mississippi high school products on this roster. And, again, a lot of products from junior college. And you begin to think about that aspect of it. You use football to help pay for your education, even if you're not an NFL prospect. You hope you get that opportunity, but even if you don't, you can get your college degree. Take your 2 years at JUCO, and then, hey, you land at Alcorn, Jackson State, or Valley, you're still getting a college degree, which gives you a head start in life. Eric Thomas out of Starkville High School is there, down there too. That's a name that many of our people know, but I just bring that up because I think it's important to understand, and I'm a firm believer in this, that our HBCUs, our FCS programs within this state, you know, for many years just didn't get the opportunity to go play in the playoffs. I wish that was the case, but sometimes it's kind of a losing proposition, you know, financially. I wish we could find a way to make that work. I really do. But, again, there's so many of these young people. You know, we used to do the combine around the state, and I can tell you I had more thank yous from the HBCUs than anybody else. And Mississippi State was always very appreciative because, you know, we took all those results and then we would send it out for free. We had 47 colleges, counting the JUCOs in Mississippi, that we sent that information out to free. And as a result, there were a lot of players that got on the recruiting radar at no cost of their own. A lot of people out here doing combines, charging everybody $100 a piece. I never did it. We got sponsorship. It's just too much for me to do right now. But I can tell you, so many of these coaches from Jackson State and especially Alcorn State that reached out and said, hey, you know, thanks for doing this. You know, it was very expensive to kind of get those lists. And to have objective third-party measurements and times of players within the great state of Mississippi and sometimes surrounding areas. 1 year at Tupelo, we had players from five different states there. But it was primarily a Mississippi enterprise. We had a lot of people that benefited from that. And look, I see Cameron Richardson here was a senior last year at Alcorn State. You may remember him. Out of Madison, went down to Gulf Coast for a couple of years. And it's so interesting to go back and look at so many of these names that are familiar. You know, guys that cross our Twitter feed and guys that send us their video. And it's great to see that they've had the opportunity to play college football at some level. I think it's very, very important. Now, let's look ahead to this year's team, this year's schedule, I guess. I don't know if we have enough. We don't have an updated roster yet. And, you know, there's a lot that goes with all that too, right? There's a lot, you know, with the portal and, you know, there's a lot that happens with that. But, you know, expectations for this team, you know, you just never know. You know, of course, you know, Mississippi State, we expected us out talent teams like this. And they're going to open up on the road at Northwestern State there in Natchitoches, a place that I lived for about a year and a half. We loved it there. It's great. I lived in the middle of a pecan orchard. I'd walk to work some days. Then they go to Alabama A&M, and that's actually a non-conference game, even though they are conference opponents. That's interesting, right? I can't begin to imagine the challenges of scheduling in the FCS because not everybody out there is willing to write that big check, and you need it to facilitate, just like Alcorn coming to Mississippi State September 13th. They will get into SWAC play the next 2 weeks after that. Arkansas Pine Bluff will play them in Memphis at the Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. New name. Then they get Prairie View at home. They will play Lincoln University out of California in Lorman. So that's an interesting matchup. I don't know much about them either. Then they will travel to take on the Rattlers of FAMU. Valley will make the trip to Lorman October 25th. They go to Texas Southern, play that game out in Houston. Southern University, of course, a mainstay in the SWAC. Grambling, of course, will make their way. And that's a cool thing you look at, too, is like, you get Southern and Grambling both coming to Lorman this year, and then you got to go and play, you know, the Jackson State in the rivalry game. So, not sure what to expect from this team, you know, because we, you know, The reality of it is you know, it's probably going to be a week, you know, where we can kind of get right and get healthy. But just kind of looking back at them, you know, last year, averaged just 21.75 points again. Right at 22, gave up 28. And a lot of that, too, is because, you know, you had the UAB game. You had the Vanderbilt game. So it kind of skews the numbers a little bit. But outside of that, they actually played pretty well. They were competitive against just about everybody else. And I think that's what you want if you're playing at that level. You got to go play those paycheck games, but you want to be able to use that to fund your program and put yourself in a position to be very competitive in your league. They actually averaged 195 yards a game rushing the football last year, outrushed their opponents by 20 yards. It's going to be a pretty balanced attack based on last year's numbers. You know, completion percentage, maybe not the best, but I think for about 1,800 yards. But primarily a run-first team, but we expect to have some separation in this game. And then we'll kind of see how things look. But, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting dynamic. And I am a proponent for us playing the FCS teams in Mississippi. And the reason that I say that is because I am a Mississippian. And I want all Mississippians, with the exception of a segment of Ole Miss fans, to have a real good shot at this thing, right? So, you know, we used to go play Gardner-Webb, and we'd play, you know, Northwestern State and people like that, UL Monroe. If we're going to write the check, why not write a check that more often than not is going to benefit other Mississippians, right? We talk about, you know, how these, you know, the FBS playoff rankings work. It's not really going to make any difference if you play Gardner-Webb or you play Jackson State. And so my thinking is, and again, I give Scott Strickland a lot of credit for this because Scott was one of the ones that kind of made sure this happened. I remember playing Jackson State in the very first Dan Mullen game. Remember we had the rain delay, the weather delay, how crazy that was. But it was a historic day. But I think it's a great thing for us to continue to invest in Mississippi. Yeah, I go back to the Justin Malone situation, and maybe some of you have forgot about this. Justin Malone, he played 4 years at Mississippi State, and one of his first game day experiences at Mississippi State is when he came to see his brother, who played at Alcorn State, play at Mississippi State. And so he comes in and gets a chance to experience it and, you know, talk to his brother, who can tell him about, hey, you know, we had a chance to experience the facility. It wasn't a great crowd that day. It was a day game. But the reality of it is we invested a little money in the fact to let Alcorn State be an opponent, and I can assure you they need that money as much or more than a lot of other programs in the FCS level. And then we ended up getting a player kind of indirectly from that. You know, a guy that came in here and gave it his all, you know, for 4 years and played up and down the line. I think you guys recall, sometimes we even had to play him at tackle because we had some injuries. But, you know, Justin Malone was a guy out of MRA. And it was kind of a big deal when he committed to us because there were so many people in that neck of the woods that were hoping that would happen. And I go back to the fact that as a high school student, he had the opportunity to come here and see his brother play at Davis-Wade Stadium. How many other younger or little brothers will come to Mississippi State, and maybe the only time they come to Mississippi State as young people, to watch us play, say, an Alcorn or Jackson State, and say, you know what? I think I might want to come here someday. But more to the point, too, I just think it's the right thing to do. I think it helps all Mississippi when we ensure that those programs have the resources to operate and to help these young people facilitate a great college experience and ultimately earn their college degree. Yeah, wouldn't you be excited? I mean, the more college degrees we have in the state of Mississippi, doesn't that better our state? I think that's important. I do. And maybe you see it differently, and that's okay. But I think if we're going to go write that check, I would rather see some dividends collected in the state of Mississippi than, say, North Carolina or Louisiana. Just my personal opinion. All right, final segment of the show. Brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle without any exception, especially if you're bringing a large group to town. You don't have to. You can rent the whole place out just for yourself. However, there are 6 bedrooms, 2 soon to be 3 baths. That'll be operational for football season for those of you making the trip. Pretty special place. We stayed there for New Year's. We had a blast. I love the fact we just, you know, I'm in town, so if we forget something, we can just go run and go get it from home. But the reality of it is, it was just nice to have everybody under one roof. All my kids, my grandkids. I can tell you my wife enjoyed it too. We had the full service kitchen, the wet bar. I didn't partake. Back porch area, fire pit area. Everything you need to have a good time is right there. Just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. So instead of having everybody littered all over the Golden Triangle when you make your big trip to Starkville, wouldn't it be great to have everybody together in one place? Plenty of room to recreate. You can do some cooking. You can order some food. It's out past the Highlands, just off 182. Really, really, really good place. We're going to do it again. I encourage you to solicit an opportunity to go stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Their Facebook page will auto-populate. You can peruse through the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guest. And some booking options are going to pop up too. Airbnb, VRBO. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website by using promo code BSR10. It's BSR10, the number 10, gets you 10% off your stay. It's a little thank you for listening to the show. You'll be so glad you did it. Because it's not just the big moments that matter, right? Some of the most meaningful moments we have when there's not a lot going on and we can just kind of connect as people. You owe it to yourself, to your family, your friend group to get together under one roof at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. So your renovated country club, clubhouse out past the Highlands, absolutely incredible place to stay. All right, let's talk a little bit about recruiting. I went through and contacted all the guys that had visited us that had not announced yet. And we may get one or two of those guys. I'm not expecting a big July, okay? And I understand there's a lot of angst out there, but there are a few things I want to kind of make you aware of. Number one, basically what I have learned is that Mississippi State's strategy and the revenue sharing model is we're going to pay for production. Not necessarily potential. Now, that's a calculated risk, but we can't be in a scenario where it kind of like it used to be in NFL and Major League Baseball, you know, before they had the new collective bargaining agreements where, you know, the rookies would come in making more than the veterans, guys that had put all this work in and kind of built your team and franchise. I think Mississippi State's taken a similar approach. Another thing that I have learned from talking to sources around the conference, is a lot of these agents, number one, they're not all licensed agents, and that's a problem, right? That needs to be addressed. But a lot of these agents are unaware that the rules have changed dramatically with the House settlement. That's an important aspect. Like the NIL deals now, of course, have to go through the GO program, right? They call it GO. And that started on June 11th. Now, the settlement itself doesn't really begin until July 1st. But all the NIL deals that were negotiated basically for the last couple of weeks have been under the new umbrella. That's one of the reasons a lot of student athletes worked hard to get a deal done before the House settlement because, you know, the old rules applied. But there are a lot of these agents, and many of them street agents, again, not licensed agents. I'm not taking a shot at anybody out there that's doing things the right way. But after speaking to people at multiple schools, there's a lot of this misunderstanding. They think, hey, well, we're going to need, you know, $100,000. And they're like, well, that's no longer permissible. Well, you know, in our state, it's legal for you guys to do this and do that. Well, it's not legal in college athletics anymore because we've all signed this memorandum of understanding that we're going to comply with the House settlement. And so there is an adjustment period there. And here is what I think will be interesting. There are a lot of people working through the process now to negotiate their rev share. And I think there are some people out there that are going to be surprised that it's not exactly what people told them it would be. You know, maybe you found an agent, and I use Dr. Evil quotes, an agent back in the spring that said, hey, I can help you navigate through this and I'll take X number percent and we'll get you a great deal. Well, the problem with that is that the dynamic of everything has changed dramatically. And some of these people have not maybe adapted with it. Now, the deals you made in the spring with spring portal players were under the old NIL era rules. But for all intents and purposes, the NIL era, as you knew it, is over. There is still NIL, but now there are some safeguards to ensure it's not pay for play. This whole thing about determining, you know, what is fair market value? And that's going to take some time. Any deal in excess of $600 has to be submitted for approval. And we're being told that majority of them are being approved without any fanfare. There are some others that aren't even close. And so now you've got Deloitte and Touche. I guess it's maybe it's Deloitte now. Maybe. They're doing this, right? It's a third party. It's not the NCAA. It's not the school. It's not a players union. But these are the rules that we've all accepted. And so the NIL deal of May is going to be much different in June and going forward. And I know many of you already have a lot of NIL fatigue. And so the way that I understand it after kind of sitting and talking with Zach Selman for a while is that a lot of the things you don't like about NIL compensation are going to be eliminated or at least reduced. And one of the things that we have all talked about extensively is, and listen, we had some guys that we signed in December that we kind of processed out in spring, but there were some people out there. Not a lot of big-time players, but a lot of people, maybe mid-level guys. It's like, okay, well, we're going to negotiate a deal for the winter portal. And we'll get, you know, $50,000. And then we're going to transfer out in the spring, and we'll cash in again. And maybe we don't get 50, but we probably get, you know, $30,000. And so that is not negotiating in good faith. That was a hole in the whole NIL operation and the immediate transfer through the portal. That's one of those things that's being handled now. And as you may be aware of, there is a lawsuit right now that will be a precedent-setting case as the University of Wisconsin is suing the University of Miami. And maybe you've read about this, right? Or maybe you don't fully appreciate kind of what it's about, but here's what happened. So Wisconsin, the player's not being sued, okay? That's an important thing, and maybe that changes later. But Xavier Lucas was a defensive back that had agreed to an NIL deal to stay at Wisconsin. And then it is alleged that Miami tampered with Lucas to try to get him to transfer to Miami. Well, to get around the transfer portal, because the portal was closed, and again, another loophole in the rules there, he just withdrew from school at Wisconsin and enrolled at Miami and never entered the portal, which kind of circumvents the rules. But, you know, regular students do it all the time. And that's what that was kind of the argument. It's like, well, hey, why should student athletes be held to a different standard when every student in the country can transfer when and where they want to without penalty? So basically, the crux of this case is tampering, which has been a huge problem. And so basically, what Wisconsin is going to be charged with doing, their collective is also a co-plaintiff in this case, is to say that, hey, they illegally enticed him to break his end of the contract. And so one of the things that you have heard me and others kind of complain about through all this process is there has to be some protection for the schools. These contracts have to mean something. There is an exchange of goods for services. You are being compensated to play. It's not like indentured servitude. Both parties enter into an agreement and say, hey, I'm going to play for X amount of dollars. And then that's the arrangement that we all agree to. And we're going to put our signatures on it. We're going to sign it. And that's the thing that has been the issue, is there hasn't been anything out there to force compliance with these deals. And the thing that I go back to is when you begin to think about professional sports, you don't get to renegotiate your contract every 6 months. I mean, we don't get to do that in life. But if you have a working agreement, you signed a contract, that's the deal. Now, you could ask to renegotiate, but the way that the college model has been set up is just like you saw with Nico Amaleva. He agrees to an NIL deal to stay at Tennessee, and then the day before the spring game, he lets them know that, hey, I got to get more money or I'm leaving. That just shouldn't happen. What protection does Tennessee have? Because it is clear at this point, you can't take anybody at their word, and you can't take anybody at their signature. And so this lawsuit, no matter how it works one way or another, and I don't think this is one that should be settled, I think this thing needs to go through the court system so we establish a precedent to put some sense of protection for the schools, because everything, really, and I go back maybe 5 years now, everything that we have done legislatively with the NCAA has been an overcorrection. We have skewed way too much towards the student athlete. Now, I have always been an advocate. I want what's best for the student athlete and their experience. I wasn't against immediate eligibility. I wasn't against NIL compensation. But what we were sold was a bill of goods. And it was basically a legal way to facilitate pay for play. And that's why some schools out there did better at NIL than others, is because they already had an infrastructure established of people that were already paying players. So now it's like, oh, well, now we can do it without penalty. We'll just give more. We'll encourage other people to give more. And it worked. Yeah, a place like Mississippi State at times, we're a little too conservative. I'm not saying I'm advocating for skirting rules, but I don't know that we push the envelope enough with NIL. And now that this new program is in place, you know, you get the Bulldog X, one's fine. There's going to be some NIL deals that will still be worked on a corporate level. You know, things are going to still kind of move forward, right? And that was one of the things that we talked about eventually, that they would, you know, the university would pay the student athletes. I felt like it would probably all come to the TV deal. Now it's all just coming from the general operating budget. So in many respects, that's kind of what came to be. But we are, I believe, even though we're still probably years away from these things working their way through the court system, we are starting to see a shift towards maybe a safer version of normal. We've had the Wild Wild West for 4 years now. I think July 1st will be the four-year anniversary of NIL being legal. And again, it all started with, hey, Will Rogers ought to be able to do an ad for the local car dealership back home in Brandon and be compensated to do that. It made perfect sense, right? You know, Josh Hubbard deserves to make some money every time his jersey sold. Makes sense, right? But that's not what happened. The quid pro quo was pretty much abandoned maybe within a year, 2 years. All of a sudden, everybody had collectives, which in all intents and purposes was just kind of a slush fund, you know? We contributed to that too because it was legal. And so that's the aspect of this that is ever changing and evolving. And you need to kind of keep your eye on this lawsuit. And again, it'll be a while, probably 2 years before we get resolution on that. But I suspect because of this litigation that is now very, very public, that there are going to be people that are going to be a lot more careful. It's like, well, hey, we don't want to be involved in that. It's not just the NCAA you got to worry about. Now there's actually civil litigation in federal court. And it's pretty safe to say, and maybe it's not a bridge too far, for us to say, you know what, maybe it's circumstantial, but it clearly appears that Miami did something wrong. It clearly appears that they benefited from circumventing the rules of the NCAA. And this is not something that's going before the Committee on Infractions. This is going before a judge and jury. And unfortunately, that's how things have to be done in this country. And so I think that is something that you guys need to be aware of. You know, of course, it's not going to be daily updates on it. It's going to take a long time for all this to take care of. But the reality of it is that with RevShare now, and there being more guardrails around the NIL compensation, I think we're moving in the right direction. And now this lawsuit, I think, will probably give the schools more protection. If I go and willfully enter into a contract, and I promise to do certain things in exchange for compensation, I have a responsibility to hold up my end of the deal. And there are some coaches out there that believe that these contracts should come with a buyout. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but it's probably worth talking about. If Southern Miss recruits and develops a quarterback, and he agrees to a certain level of compensation, and then he enters the transfer portal and somebody signs him, should there be compensation that goes back the other way? Should there be a buyout? Maybe, I don't know, $25,000? Because if you're Southern Miss, or you're a school that is, you know, G5 or even FCS, you know, how much money did you put into this player? How much did you invest in scholarship, in NIL, coaching, development? There are some coaches out there that believe that their program should be compensated. Now, that's going to take some time to work out. But in scenarios such as this, when it appears that a school has acted in malice and malfeasance to circumvent NCAA rules at the detriment of another institution, it's probably something that needs to be heard in a courtroom. I think most would agree. But my hope is that this will serve as a deterrent, even though it may be 2 to 3 years before we get a ruling in this case, that some other schools will say, you know what? It's just not worth it. It's not worth it to go out there and try to convince a guy to go get in a portal in hopes that we can sign him. And bear in mind, the portal was closed. And that's the rules we all signed up for, right? And it's so funny, Miami is always in the middle of everything with this NIL stuff from the beginning. You know, you had the millionaire down there bankrolling and everything, and you had all the thing with the Cavender twins. Miami always seems to be in the middle of all this stuff. And I don't know why. You know, it's a private institution, obviously, so there's probably not as much transparency there as there are at other places. But this is an important thing to watch. And again, I think getting to the rev share model is one of the better things that's happened for Mississippi State. We talked about it 4 years ago. We just needed to find a way to tread water until we got either a national law, right, to give us a level playing field, or to get something like this. And that's kind of the hope with RevShare, is, you know, you're going to have a cap now of how much money you can spend to pay for your student athletes. And if you need to supplement that, you're going to have a viable NIL deal that can be approved through a third-party system. Rather than before, it's like, oh, well, you get rev share here, but then we'll supplement that with $100,000. Now, if you're doing that, it's going to be something that's outside the guidelines, and that's going to be something to really watch. So I think we are entering a phase of employee or player compensation that makes more sense for Mississippi State. And again, there were some people, I think, very naive in the very beginning of this process. Even some people in college administration, some people at Mississippi State, some people in the media. And there were some people like, hey, this will be a good thing for Mississippi State. It hasn't been a good thing for Mississippi State. It hasn't been. And one of the things that's kind of been a detriment to us is that, hey, we want to be good in everything. And we just can't financially do that. We can't go out there and compete in a wild, wild west arena in every sport. And how many times did you see it, like men's basketball specifically? Yeah, Chris Jans is a great coach. You know, we got a renovated arena here. You know, we're moving in the right direction. And how many times did you see a player come here, have a great visit, and we feel like we're in it, and then at the end we get outbid by a school that prioritizes men's basketball? I remember the whole deal with Missouri, right? I mean, they're just ridiculous how much money they offered that kid through NIL. And we just didn't have it to spend. Now, the flip side of that is, you know, Missouri isn't giving anybody NIL money for baseball. We are. And so some schools out there have to kind of pick and choose what they want to prioritize. And we're one of them. But that was the challenge for us is like, hey, we want to go spend money on women's basketball. We want to spend money here. We want to spend money on football. We got to get caught up here. You know, and the reality of it is I think we could give 100% of our money to football and probably get similar results. So we got to be good stewards. We do. But again, we hadn't talked about NIL a lot lately because I know many of you get tired of it. I hear it. It's like, Steve, I just want to hear about the team, you know, and I get it. But I think this is one of those precedent-setting moments that might actually be a good thing for us, because if we now have a cap, right, that everybody's supposed to have to use, and again, people are going to find a way to – rules don't apply to everybody. That's one of the things, too. I see some of our fans, and God bless them, man. I mean, absolutely God bless them. I love all the Bulldog fans, even the ones that don't love me. But some people think, oh, this is a hard cap. Trust me, the rules only apply to the law-abiding, right? I mean, there's still dark money out there flowing. And if you don't believe that, you're just kidding yourself. But the penalties for doing that are becoming a little more dramatic. And I think that's an important aspect of it, too. So we get through that aspect of it, and now we can maybe put some teeth in these agreements where people are kind of held accountable to hold up their end of the deal, and then you punish wrongdoers. You know, if it goes as forecast, then that could be a good thing for Mississippi State, because NIL, by and large, has not been a good thing for Mississippi State. Not department-wide. There are a few sports it's worked out well for us, and other ones not so much. But, you know, the thing that I go back to, people want to argue with me about that, and I just said, just go look at the results. Look at the on-the-field and on-the-court results. And you tell me if NIL has been a great thing for Mississippi State. And I just kind of rest my case there. All right, if you hadn't done so, go to DutyNimbleBook.com. And you can get signed copies of all my sports titles and When the Bottom Falls, which I still get messages basically weekly about that book. And thank you so much for that. In addition, you can come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. It's been absolute gangbusters. Thank you so much. Thank you. I can tell you it's been my wife's dream to run that business, and things have been going extremely well. And I remember last June we were, you know, kind of, you know, sweating things out a little bit because the summer months, it gets a little thin around here, and we are absolutely doing gangbusters this June. Compared to last year, of course, it was our first June, so we didn't know what to expect. And so we tried to be real conservative this year to anticipate, you know, maybe a little bit of a setback in June again, but it hadn't been the case. Matter of fact, it's been one of our best months. And again, thank you so much for that. You can call 662-268-7601. Speak directly to my lovely wife, Dana, and she can answer any questions you may have. If you're a person that suffers with chronic anxiety or pain, we may be able to help you. We've helped many others. Maybe you just need a break from life. Maybe you don't have any of those problems. You just want a chance to rest and get a mental reset. Come float. You'll be glad you did. And always come join us over at jeanspage.com. 50% off the annual subscription rate going on right now for a few more days. So come check that out. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.